Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Is television a breakthrough opportunity in the world of stand-up comedy? For that answer, and a few others, we're going to tap someone who can answer with expertise. Stand-up comedian and sometimes TV actor Bob Greenberg. He joins me next. Also ahead, new host wanted for America's Got Talent, maybe, Grammy viewing 2017, and a new classic trivia question of the week. With a new prize. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this program. Good morning, afternoon to you and all. Welcome to the program All About Television. 38 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. The weather may be warm, but the winds are not. We're getting them all over the place here in the New York metro area, but we understand the rest of the week it's supposed to be nice, bright, and clear. We're happy you are aboard for these next 45 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program along with yours truly and our guests coming up shortly. Here's how you get involved. You raise your voice. You use this number to call in. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room as well for your use. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and just 1494 is in the room. You'll find that on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow those instructions, and other people can be live with you. Bob Greenberg will join me live here in the Big Apple after these news notes. It looks like NBC will be searching for a new host on America's Got Talent. In several entertainment website reports posted a few hours ago, Nick Cannon, the current host, says NBC threatened to fire him from AGT because of a recent Showtime comedy special where Cannon used the acronym NBC with a racial slur. With that face, Cannon decided to quit. He also disclosed his decision in a Facebook post. At this hour, there's no reaction from NBC, and just before we signed on, an unnamed source familiar with the situation told the entertainment site The Wrap that under his AGT contract, Cannon cannot quit at any time until he completes that term of the contract. We'll keep you posted on the situation. CBS enjoyed a viewing bump from last night's Grammy Award telecast. 26 million people watched the 2017 presentation, hosted by James Corden of The Late Late Show, up 2 million from last year's event, the lowest rated since 2010. Two biggies for you. ABC and People Magazine will team up on a four-hour Princess Diana retrospective coming this August, marking the 20th anniversary of her death. And fresh off his Any Given Wednesday talk show, which wrapped up on HBO last November, Bill Simpson's next HBO project will be an Andre the Giant documentary co-produced with the WWE. And that's news notes for today. Usually on this program All About Television, we showcase where the meeting is at and where it's going from a number of expertises, basically the people who make TV happen, a show creator, a show producer, writer, director, music composer, other craft person, sometimes an actor, sometimes a journalist who covers the media, sometimes an entrepreneur who wants to break in the business in some way with content or technology. Today we thought we might do a different approach by showcasing someone who has been in TV, but it is more in another field, in this case, the field of stand-up comedy, which has been part of television ever since the medium started. Remember the days when comics would be on shows, variety shows like The Ed Sullivan Show, or they would have their own programs like Bob Hope, George Burns and Gracie Allen, and Jack Benny. Well, we have a stand-up comedian who has performed all over the place, including New York locations like the famed Gotham Comedy Club over on 8th Avenue and 23rd Street, but you may have seen him, or at least his face, in places like Saturday Night Live, and more recently, the HBO series Vinyl. Joining me here in the Big Apple, we are glad to welcome Bob Greenberg. Bob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Simon Applebaum. Is that your real name?
That is my real name, one and only. And for those who wonder, Baum is German for tree.
You're talking about Big Wind. Am I the Big Wind that's coming in from New York? Is that it?
You said that, I didn't.
You're talking about a lot of Big Wind, and then you said, and Bob Greenberg's here.
Absolutely. So let's start to that opening question. Do people in your field see TV as big a breakthrough opportunity for a stepping stone to start, if you will, the same way, let's say, that when in the 1980s and 90s you had all sorts of stand-up comedy shows like A&E's Improv, A&E at the Improv, Carol's Comedy Hour, Comic Strip Live on Fox, Norm Scorsese's Comedy Shop and Syndication. It seemed that in that period there were so many stand-up comedy shows on TV that a lot of people thought, hey, this is a place where I can, you know, if somebody sees me, an agent sees me, I could blossom into a bigger TV star.
Yes, that was very true, especially in the late 80s and early 90s. I mean, almost any stand-up could get a show. Seinfeld got his show that way, if you recall. And luckily, it wasn't canceled. It wasn't doing too well. Had even a different name, I think, a different title. It had Seinfeld in it, but something like These Friends of Mine or something odd like that. But they stuck with it, and it was a big hit. But there was almost every comedian working had some kind of network deal where they were hoping to develop them. That's how popular stand-ups were and how important stand-ups were to television at that time.
Mm-hmm. What is it like now? I mean, we still have some stand-up forums. You still have, of course, the late-night talk shows. You have Comedy Central Presents. You often have specials on HBO and sometimes Showtime. And there's also the syndicated show Laughs, which is on local stations like WWR here in New York, which has clips from various comedy clubs.
Well, it's still important. I mean, people use it as a reference point. I don't think it has the same weight as, like, if you made your network debut on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, that would change your entire career. You would go from making, you know, $70 a night to, you know, $7,000 a night. Do you know what I mean? Or you're $70,000 a week in Vegas, whatever. I mean, everything would change. Now, I think it's also important, but there's so many things with the internet. I sound like an old man. With the internet and the YouTube and the Facebook and the Twitter, those elements also, I think, add to importance for a comedian, as in name value, being recognized. I think there are some comics that made their name by doing, you know, YouTube videos and like you doing a blog that's popular. So there's different ways of going, but definitely, you know, getting that 6-minute spot, you know, on Fallon, The Tonight Show, or Stephen Colbert can help you tremendously.
Have you explored any of those territories like Netflix, like Hulu, like Amazon, et cetera? I know Netflix is very big now in the stand-up comedy. They've signed Jerry Seinfeld to a new deal that includes his former crack series, Comedian Cars Getting Coffee. Chris Rock is now going to do two specials. By the way, earlier today, Sarah Silverman announced that she is going to do a comedy special for Netflix. It seems, for example, with them, they've really decided that stand-up comedy is going to become a big part of their programming schedule.
Yes. For instance, Tim Robinson, who I did a show called The Characters for. The Characters is a show, I guess you can still get it on Netflix, where they took stand-up comics. Tim wrote for SNL, and I think he still does write for SNL, and he was on it. But he wasn't, you know, he wasn't a breakout star, you know what I mean? He was, you know, he was on it, and he still writes for it, and he's a super talented guy. He has a new show, I think, called The Detroiters, which will be on Comedy Central soon. But anyway,
yes, we had the creators on. Yeah, by the way, Bob, we had the creators of the show on last week, last Monday.
Oh, you did? Okay, so you got Tim on, or you got the other guy?
Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I saw the premiere last Tuesday on Comedy Central. It's a winner, and it's getting wonderful reviews.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I did a show with him called The Characters, and they took, I forget how many episodes there were. I'm on episode 7, but they took a bunch of stand-ups or writers or people in the comedy field, and they gave them their own half hour to do what they want, you know. And it's a great half hour. I have a great part in it, and it shows you that Netflix. And we shot this a while back. I guess it had to be a year or a year and a half ago, maybe a little more. They were just starting to really embrace stand-up. So Netflix may be the next place where people like a Sarah Silverman can really open up and do their thing, whereas if they do networks, it's too confined. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome guests 1500 in our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. You have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us the ring, 646-652-2906. With so many TV series, comedy and drama and everything in between, not to mention Saturday Night Live, being done here in New York, how often do you make the rounds to try to land any acting work?
It really depends on what's available. I'll get calls for like a show like Vinyl, for instance, or even the characters, and you go to the audition. They're usually looking in my area. I'm a character man. I'm a heavy set guy. They'll look for a particular character, and they will bring in comedians for these parts because A, they'll get a laugh usually, And B, they're not beautiful people. They got the stars to be the beautiful people. They want the comic support, I would say it's a little more frequent. It's a little more frequent than normal lately because so many more shows are being shot in New York City.
What was it like to do Vinyl, a series that was set in the 1970s? Mick Jagger was involved as an executive producer, Terrence Winter's Bulwark Empire, and the whole idea of the series, even though it lasted 1 year, was all about recreating how rock and roll sort of came into its own.
Well, I must say first that it was very profitable. They paid very well. I worked 2 days on it. And they built a suit for me. Everything had to be authentic, and they wanted me in an authentic 1973 three-piece suit, So I went to a gentleman out in Brooklyn, and this gentleman had a whole, staff that they tailor-made this suit for me that you could have worn in 1973, with the large lapels and all those kind of things, the padded shoulders and all that. And the only thing they didn't build for me, they built a shirt for me. I went someplace, and mind you, when you're an actor doing these things, they pay you. You're getting money every time you go someplace to try a shirt on, try a jacket on, try some pants on. They pay you every time. I had to go get a shirt built for me as well, So when I was on the set, I wore this suit that looked phenomenal in it. I looked phenomenal, for somebody in 1973, of course. Now I look a little odd, like a time traveler, but I look fantastic in the show. And the only thing they couldn't get for me was the shoes. I have a wide foot, and whatever sauce there was for the shoe wear, I wore actual 1973 shoes, which were not double wide, let's put it that way. So it was hard to be in somebody else's shoes at that point. But you grin and bear it. And by the second day, I stretched them a bit, so it felt a little better.
And all the while, I eventually had a
shoe wrangler, one of the wardrobe people, would take my shoes off so I could my feet could breathe when not necessary. Then she had a shoehorn to squeeze them on when necessary. I'm one of the few actors with a shoe wrangler.
Bob Greenberg, stand-up comedian, and sometimes on the acting trail as well. He's our guest this half hour live here in Nueva York on Tomorrow Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live on Blog Talk Radio. Happy you've started your Monday afternoon or continued your Monday afternoon with us, depending on where you are around the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or a comment for Bob, give us the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Applebaum. Or Simon Apple 04 by name, just 1994 and 1500 already in the room. Our next episode is Friday at this very time, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. And joining me will be from TBS's popular new comedy, The Detour, going to a second season a week from tomorrow. We've got the co-star, creator, executive producer, writer, director, and yes, he's Samantha Bee's husband as well. Jason Jones will be my lead guest. Also, we'll meet a former Walt Disney executive who now has the venture known as Mobi TV, which is far different from when it started. We'll get his thoughts on everything from smart TV sets to virtual reality on television and the possibilities between. Charles Noonan will be with us. And next Tuesday, we have a wonderful post-presidency edition for you. We won't be with you on this time next Monday because of the President's Day holiday weekend. But coming up the day after, at our regular time, we've got from Netflix's critically acclaimed series Chef's Table, creator and executive producer David Gell, and from the new CMT miniseries Sun Records, executive producer and head of Think Factory Media, Leslie Greed. It's all coming up a week from tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow We Televise. One of the acting gigs you had, Bob, was on Law & Order. And I wanted to get your thoughts on doing that series because one of the recurring elements of that program and its spinoffs, including Special Victim Unit, which is still on the air, Criminal Intent, was the constant use of local New York comedians, whether it was Jerry Lewis or Larry Miller or Robert Klein. I still remember the episode that had a sort of live TV feel where Robert Klein played the producer and he sort of ended up being the bad guy.
Yeah, it's funny because comedians make good dramatic actors. I had a discussion with someone about this actually yesterday, and I think one of the reasons why they're so comfortable in doing it, and I could speak for myself, and I think I could speak for others, is that there's no stress about getting a laugh. You know, comedians, their focus is on getting a laugh. And if you have to say lines and there's no laugh necessary, I mean, you don't have to have a laugh at the end of it. You don't have to hold for it. It's just like, wow, I don't have to worry about something. It's a big worry. Take it off your shoulders. And I think a lot of comedians, when they do act, are very natural, and they can really become themselves and not their comic persona. They can become the character, and I think it's very liberating for them and for myself.
When you are on L&O, what do the writers, the producers, the directors say about how to play your character, how to bring out, like, the best performance with you?
With Law & Order, you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, with Law & Order is a very interesting show. When I auditioned for that show, they had me come into the offices of the main two guys. This is a while back, and they were still there, Dick Wolf, and I don't recall the other guy's name. The office was a very casual thing at that time. There was like a couch, and they were kind of laid out. I must have been, you know, number 100 that came in, you know what I mean? Not specifically for my part, but for various parts. So they're lounging around, so it was very interesting to go into a room. And normally when you go for an audition, you know, I mean, there are horror stories, of course. If you see La La Land, you'll see a few of those. But there are horror stories. But usually the casting director or whomever is casting you is sitting upright in a chair behind the table looking at you. These guys were sprawled out, like, you know, they were napping. It sort of woke them up, you know. And I went in there just kind of waking you, you know, they laughed. And, you know, I was, as a comedian, I was able to make a few jokes, and which calmed me, too. And I had one of those scenes where I'm jogging in the park with my wife, and we have this little argument, and I find the body, you know. So I'm jogging in place, and that cracked them up. I'm not quite sure why, but I'm doing the lines to no one. And but they're reading it, you know, someone's reading the cast director, I guess, reading the other part and whatever. And they said, "Bob, that was great. That was so great." And I said, you know, at that time I just got married, and my wife is an actress. You know, she's more of a part-time actress now. And I said, you know, who are you seeing for the wife? I mean, I have a wife, and she's an actress. And so, oh, yeah. And so she says, all right, you have a callback. Bring your wife. And then I brought my wife, and we both booked the job, and we still get residuals for it. And those guys are very laid back. And, of course, the fact that I had a real wife that they could use in the show was fantastic to them, because their show is supposed to be kind of like a documentary, although it's not, you know, it's supposed to be real, you know. So, you know, they're pretty cool. The Law & Order people are very cool and relaxed. They've been going so long that they don't sweat it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. If they were welcome, guest 1517 into our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. So you want to be involved in the show with a question or comment, get in the room or use our number, 646-652-2906. It's just very interesting, one more Law & Order note, that for the most part, when a comedian or stand-up comedian is on Law & Order, that person, man or woman, is usually the bad person, is usually either the villain, the perpetrator, or someone close to the perpetrator. And again, I think of Larry Miller. That episode to me was so chilling because at the very end of the episode, there's a twist that it's sort of like, maybe the bad guy can get away.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, comedians are character people. You know, Oliver Hardy of Laurel and Hardy was a comedian, but he also played character parts where he was the bad guy, usually the humorous bad guy, but he could play a serious bad guy. They used to call them heavies in the old days. And I don't know if it meant because of their weight or because the character was a heavy character, you know. But there are many, I mean, look at Jerry Lewis, my God. I mean, you know, King of Comedy and other things he's done. And he played a gangster in some TV show I remember as a kid.
Wise guy.
Yeah. And he could be very chilling. So there's a fine line between comedy and melodrama. It's not even a strong line. It can be broken up very easily. I can imagine my friend Jeffrey Ross playing a dramatic part and being a mean character. It wouldn't be hard for me to imagine him doing it. Not that he's a mean person, but he's the roast master general, and when he digs into someone, there is a bit of meanness in it, although it's affectionate, you know. But you can turn that a little bit to one way and make it real, and it would be horrible, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Later this year, Showtime is going to premiere a new series about the world of stand-up comedy. It's called, believe it or not, I'm Dying Up Here. And Jim Carrey put it together as one of the executive producers. Jim Carrey is one of the executive producers of this series. I believe it's going to be premiering before summer on Showtime. It's called I'm Dying Up Here. And it's about the stand-up comedy world. Has there been a lot of buzz within your world about the series? Have a lot of stand-up people rushed in, you know, to Showtime and say, I want to be part of this show, I want to play myself, or I want to play a character?
Well, I mean, usually you would go to your agent and say, hey, tell me, what's up with this? You know, I know my agent, I worked with Jim Carrey on Saturday Night Live, and so I'm sure she's already put in her feelers, you know. But yeah, I mean, what usually happens is most comedians have someone to rep them, if not, you know, signed agents, but, you know, freelance. And then, you know, they usually follow up and bother. Their job is to bother the casting director, you know, about coming in and reading for a character or whatever. And then sometimes people just include you. You know, we talked briefly about vinyl, but I got that rather fast. I had auditioned and had numerous callbacks for Boardwalk Empire. I never got on to Boardwalk Empire. And when vinyl came to be, they called me in for that role. I read it. They put me on tape. I never had a callback. They just booked me. And I said to my agent, I said, that's kind of weird that we didn't have callbacks for it or anything. And I said, Bob, they know you. You were in, you know, four or five times and was close to different roles. They know you. They just gave it to you. And that happens, too. You know, when you're seen enough, they'll just give things to you, you know, because they know you.
It's going to be interesting to see whether this series, which is sort of the first dramedy series about your world, will be as successful as Seinfeld, or approach some level of success as Seinfeld did, which, of course, was about a stand-up comedian.
Well, but Seinfeld was very, very broad. I mean, if you ask Seinfeld, it was more the Abbott and Costello show than his life, you know. I mean, there were elements, of course. Larry David put in a lot of elements that were true. There is a Kenny Kramer that lived, you know, opposite him and all that kind of stuff. But it was a comedy show, you know, almost like the Abbott and Costello show. An Abbott and Costello show for our time, let's put it that way. But this show sounds, I've heard of this show, it sounds like it's gonna scratch under the skin. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I hope it goes for a long time. It plays for a long time, and I'm in it, and everybody I know is in it. But it might be too esoteric, you know. Might just appeal to us. I don't know. We'll see, right?
Yeah, we will see, Bob. Bob, before we let you go, what's your next TV role? When are we going to see you next on the tube?
TV-wise, not certain. I'm doing, for the Actors Temple, I'm doing a big fundraiser with a lot of celebrities at the Friars Club on March 13th, and I'll be headlining a show at the Boca Black Box called How Sweet It Is, April 27th. So I'm here, there, and everywhere. TV-wise, I don't know. I'm in reruns, of course. But I never know from day to day. Oh, that's my agent right now. No, I never know from day to day what I'm going to read for or what I'm going to get. It's just that's it's the gypsy's life, you know, it's the actor's life.
My phone is ringing too, by the way, Bob. It may be your agent.
Oh, great.
Also, you mentioned the Actors Temple. Chippewa Actors Temple is a very popular space here in New York where a lot of comedians do hang out. But talk more about Boca, the Boca Project, because that's an interesting charity project you're involved with.
Yes, the Boca Black Box is a wonderful theater in Boca. And I'm doing a show called How Sweet It Is. It's a Jackie Gleason toast. I do lots of impressions, and I'll be doing a lot of Jackie Gleason in the show, plus other characters of that period like Lou Costello and Laurel and Hardy, and that. And I even do Alfred Hitchcock and whatever. And I have a wonderful singer named Jimmy Bush Jr. who'll do some Sinatra and Engelbert Humperdinck and that thing. So it's a real love letter to a great period in time, of television, Vegas, and How Sweet It Is, you know, that period of show business. It's a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to doing it. I did a version of it not too long ago in Fort Myers, Florida, so to have me back in Boca, April 27th.
Can people watch the web? Do you have a website that people can follow your exploits?
Oh, I'm down home. They can find me on Facebook, Bob Greenberg, comedian. You can't miss me. It's me and Jim Carrey from Saturday Night Live. Just find me on Facebook. You know, no problem.
All right, there you go. Bob, thank you very much for taking the time. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program, and let's have you back again soon when you get some more TV under the belt.
My pleasure, Lonsman. My pleasure. Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome, Bob. Take care. Have a great week.
You too.
Stand-up comedian and comic and dramatic actor, too, on the Tube, Bob Greenberg, joining me live here in New York. And I want to give a shout-out to the person that helped us get this interview off the ground. She is a fellow comedian here in the New York area, and I've known her for a long time. Her name is Elaine Witt. Elaine and I are involved in Landmark. That is the Empowerment Education Program that's offered around the world. She's also involved in the Actors Temple. And one of the things that Elaine does is she's involved very closely with one of the best things that Landmark does here in New York and around the world, the Landmark Forum for Teens and the Landmark Forum for Young People. The Forum for Teens was held here in the New York area, and I want to take a moment also to congratulate all the teenagers who participated in that three-day event here in New York and also around the world, too. So, Elaine, thank you again for getting Bob and I together for today's show, and continued success with your own stand-up career and also your wonderful assisting work at Landmark. By the way, if you want to find out more about what Landmark is up to, and maybe go to a Landmark Center near you and find out how the Landmark Forum can make a big difference in the quality of life, here's where you go online, www.landmarkworldwide.com. That's www.landmarkworldwide.com. And it'll tell you what Landmark Center is near you, so you can go see an introduction tonight or any night or day and find out how Landmark can make a big difference in the quality of your life. This is Tomorrow We Televised. We're going to talk all about the Tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 Eastern, New Pacific. And when we come back, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week and tell you more about what we've got coming up at the end of the week. We'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected with the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Keeping It Real, as in the world of film, with the folks at Film Gordon. Check out Keeping It Real every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can catch the best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Plus, if you have Apple TV, you can watch and hear our program and other BTR favorites at Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. That's Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, order it online or go to an Apple store near you. Welcome back to the Marvin Teleline on this Monday afternoon of February 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 38 windy degrees here in the New York metro area. Happy you are born. Well, our clock and trivia question of the week, brand new prize in play. But first, some words from the fine people at Audible.com. Are you a Doctor Who fan? If not, Got something to know about. You know, Doctor Who's got a brand new series of episodes and adventures coming your way very soon on BBC America and a spin-off series as well. But you don't have to wait until those adventures happen on BBC America to enjoy what the Doctor and his group are up to. Because Audible.com has available a wonderful set of terrific Doctor Who audiobooks called Doctor Who Short Trips. And many of the major cast members, past and present, are involved, so you hear them, as well as enjoy Doctor Who's terrific adventures. And you can get one of those Doctor Who Short Trip audiobooks with a 30-day trial to Audible.com. As we say around here, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken video entertainment and information. Over 180,000 titles to choose from, every category under the sun and then some. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like Doctor Who Short Trips or another audiobook in another category, and that one-month trial of the service to check out the wonderful adventure you can have in the world of digital sound. And remember, audible.com is part of amazon.com, so you know the customer service is top of the universe. So check out Doctor Who, or check out one of the other great titles you can find at audible.com for a month, and it's all free, no charge, no obligation. Just go to this website and make it happen. audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised for a sound experience you can have, or any you know can have as a gift that lasts a lifetime. Now it's time for our Clapping Trivia Question of the Week. We're going for our third winner of the year and our second in a row. And if you are that winner, you can get Lucille Ball FAQ. It's a wonderful new book about the great TV career of one of the great people in the world of television, in front of and behind the camera, Lucille Ball. It's published by our fine friends at Applause Books and Cinema. And it can be yours if you can use your thinking cap and answer this question. Remember the TV series Scarecrow and Mrs. King? It ran from 1983 to 1987 on CBS, starred Bruce Boxleitner and Kate Jackson as two people involved, one deliberately, one accidentally, in the world of espionage. Here's the question. On Scarecrow and Mrs. King, what was Scarecrow's real name? What was Scarecrow's real name? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and your mailing address, so if you win the prize, we get it right to you. So once again, we'll give you that question. On Scarecrow and Mrs. King, what was Scarecrow's real name? Again, the way you get involved, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and your full mailing address. If you just missed the question, just came in the show right now, no problem. I will repeat the question tomorrow on my Facebook page and on my Twitter, hashtag UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to be in, you got to win. And if you win, you win Lucille Ball FAQ, one of the latest in the great FAQ line of books from Applause Books and Cinema. We thank them for the participation in offering a prize. And then remember, in order to win, be in and have a ball, and all the very best. Remember, coming up Friday on Tomorrow We Tell Lies, my first guest will be the acclaimed performer, co-star, co-creator, executive producer, writer, director of TBS's hit from last year, The Detour. It's coming back for a second season next Tuesday, February 21st. And oh yeah, Jason Jones is also, when he's not doing all that, Samantha Bee's husband. He's our lead guest coming up this Friday. Also this Friday, we'll meet a former Walt Disney executive, now the chief executive of Movie TV. It started as a mobile venture, now it's more of a TV venture, and we'll get his thoughts along the way, not just about where Movie TV is at and going, but also about where he sees cable technology and TV technology going, smart TV sets, smart devices, Ultra HD, the possibility of interactive television, and a whole lot more. Charles Newton is his name, and he will be with us also on Friday. And then coming up, post-President's Day, that's next Tuesday, February 21st, my lead guest will be the creative executive producer of the acclaimed Netflix series Chef's Table, coming back this Friday for Season 3, David Gelb. And finally, the head of Fame Factory Media, Leslie Reed, he's been on the program before. His company's latest project is Sun Records, formerly Million Dollar Quartet, the new miniseries coming later this month on CMT. That is all coming up next Tuesday, February 21st, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episode you missed, like the episode we had with Zach Kanan last Monday. He is the creator, executive producer, and writer of Detroiters, which premiered last week on Comedy Central. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out our recent episodes on podcast at iTunes.com, and as mentioned before, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Either way, you can download them to your smartphone or tablet, take this on the go, and many people share them with others they love. And we thank all of you who have been checking us out on replay of late, because we really appreciate it. We've had quite a bump in replays so far, over 2,400 as of earlier today. So keep it coming. Check us out on podcast. That's iTunes.com or the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. And again, if you don't have Apple TV, go and order it online or order in an Apple store near you. Remember, we love hearing from you. We'd like to get your feedback about where the TV industry stands and where it's going. So let it rip. Just email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Again, that's how you get involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And you also get involved in a feature called A Show to Know. Is there a TV show or project that you like that doesn't get enough attention? We want to give it attention on this program, and we will, but you got to communicate with us, and if you do, we will give you the credit on the air. So, again, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If email's not your thing, don't worry. You can find me on Facebook. Communicate that way, or follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. I respond to all communications within 24 hours, so make it happen. And one reason why is because we really appreciate what you have to say. Why? Because what you say matters. Simple as that. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For a free 30-day trial and audiobook along with it, just use this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday and week. We are back with you Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, with Jason Jones of The Detour among our guests. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until then, be safe and be great out there. And, of course, until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.